Hi everyone, I guess we're live. I guess we're ready to go. It's a beautiful day here in Michigan. It is a beautiful day here in Michigan. You know, I'm not used to this cold. You know, what they say is absolutely true because I've lived in Illinois all my life and now I've lived in Texas. This is the second winter that's going on in Texas and I'm used to 103 degrees. So your body absolutely does get used to that. Because I come back here and I cannot believe how cold. I just cannot get warm. That's why I got this fireplace behind me, is because I cannot get warm. And just everything is starting to drain and my voice is kind of cracking. So, you know, I apologize to everybody out there if my voice is raspy and crackly and that. But, you know, it is what it is. So we'll just go on. But yeah, no, I'm actually loving the fact that it is cold, because when I go back to Austin, it's going to be 86 degrees. So that's last year Christmas time. It was like 75. So, you know, I do kind of miss the snow. But, you know, I just want to go over a little things of what we did, what we talked about yesterday, just kind of recap a little bit. You know, we discussed, you know, what life somewhat is, and we discussed what life isn't. And yesterday we talked about what life was not, and we talked about that life wasn't separate. It wasn't something that this you that is separate from has. We talked that the phantom man lives and he thrives in this realm of duality, and he actually needs this duality in order to exist. One of the things to even remotely to begin to understand is know that the world of the phantom man starts with the basic foundation that there's a separate self. That's the foundation of the phantom man. That's what he builds everything else upon. But the foundation is there is a separate self. He cannot exist without that foundation. And on that foundation is he built his kingdom of judgment of the good and evil, and he rules over every experience that he has and everything, and he rules it. It's good or it's evil or it's yes or it's no. It's these land of opposites. And that's where he rules in his kingdom. He begins his reign of control. And I like what Mike said yesterday. Is Mike said that separation brings fear. And it's fear that keeps this phantom man in control. Because if something is separate from you, it's something to fear. It's different from you. And anything that different always brings a realm, a little bit of fear in. So that's why the phantom man has to have that separateness, because he has to reign in that control. So there has to be that fear, because fear breeds control and control breeds fear. It's a two-sided coin. And so he has to keep that separateness in order to rule and in order to reign. With the mindset that there is being a view and that life is something you live. And that's what we talked about yesterday, that we all think that there is a you and we have this life. And it's something that we have to live. It's something that we have to do. It's something we have to control. It's our life experiences. And that just helps us to be able to just keep up these appearances and keep up this mind, this mental image that we have of ourselves. If there is a you, then there is always something that needs to be controlled. Always. Whether it be people, whether it be circumstances. If it's separate from you, like I said, it needs to be controlled, because it's something that brings in a little amount of fear. And if something brings in fear, you have to control it. You have to manage it. Now, how many times have we always said, I just got to manage my life? We always say that, you know, I just got to manage it, which means you've got to control it, because it's something different. And that's what the phantom man breeds, and he thrives in that because he has to. That's his foundation. That's his very basis of existing. And that's a little bit of what we talked about yesterday. You know, why do you think that there's always wars and things like that in this world? There's wars with other countries because they're different. And you've got to control them. And they're afraid of another country about what they're going to do because it's different. So that's what control is. You know, the other thing I loved what Mike said yesterday was like, that's why when the mind is worshiping the concept of a God, it's worshiping the concept of a separate self. That was an awesome statement. Absolutely awesome statement. When the mind is worshiping the concept of a God, it's worshiping the concept of a separate self. Remember yesterday we had our little Play-Doh? We had our God, and we had ourselves. And when this is worshiping this, it's really worshiping this. Because this is separate. It's celebrating its separateness. It's just totally basking in its foundation that this is separate. And that's what it loves to do. And that's why this concept of God is such a wrong concept of what we have the concept of God is. You know, we have this concept that this separate entity that just is out there ruling and reigning and controlling everything. When it's really this that's ruling and reigning and trying to control everything. But yet, it bows itself to this, thinking it's worshiping a God, when all the while it's just the man behind the curtain worshiping himself. But he doesn't have to feel bad about it. He doesn't have to feel like he's worshiping himself if he has something out here. So, that was a great statement. I love that statement. I really did. We talked about that there was no others, that there was only life. We had our little red, our little yellow Play-Doh, that this was life, and this was all there is. And that's it. Just life. Only one, nothing else. It's all in all. It's everything, all the time, all that there is, and it's complete. Nothing opposite in this. Doesn't know opposite. Doesn't know health. Doesn't know sickness. Doesn't know rich, poor, black, white. Nothing. It's only life. It only knows life. And that's a little bit of what we talked about yesterday, was this only knows life. Now, the phantom man, this guy here, he's never going to understand this. Because to understand this, means that this guy is gone. Because that's his whole foundation, is that he exists. And if you want to, you're just saying that this is all there is, he's going to be gone. So he's really not going to want to accept this. Because so if you think that you can understand this with your mind, you're not going to. Because it's going to cause him to cease to exist, and he's going to say no. This is not right. Nope, sorry, heresy, don't listen, Because it means the non-existence of him. If this is all there is. Can't have both. Because if you have both, what do we have? Duality, we have two. And 2 + 2 never equals one. We learned that yesterday too. That 2 + 2, that this and this God that everyone thinks they have equals one, but it's really not one. It's still two. It's still two. So we learned that yesterday. We talked a little bit about that. Again, the phantom man will not going to understand this, because then it means that his very existence of him is going to cease. So he doesn't want that. And he needs to have an existence in order to control, in order to play God over his kingdom. Now, I said, what's his kingdom? It's all this. This is all his kingdom. It's all this. It's his world. This is his world. You know, this right here, everything we see, everything we experience, everything we're going, that's his world. That's what he tries to control. And that's what he judges. Every single minute of the day. He judges everything that comes in. And he takes a look at it and he just judges it. And we want to say that, you know, there's opposites, there's good. John had asked me yesterday, well, isn't there like anything in between? And really, there's not. There's yes, there's no, there's good, there's bad. You know, if you say something, well, okay, there's good, but then there's something that's kind of good. Well, kind of good isn't good. It really isn't. And if it's not good, you're really not going to do it. You naturally just say, okay, well, it's kind of good, but okay, it eventually comes down to being bad. So this gray area where it says, you know, okay, there's kind of this and there's kind of, no, there isn't. There's opposites. There is. So I hope I answered your question on that one. Jesus, we all think that Jesus was crucified because of this God that needed to be appeased. Because if somebody did something wrong, somebody ate the apple or somebody sinned. And again, that was one of the questions that got me started on my quest, was that if God said, keep no account of any wrong suffered, then why did he keep an account of that, and why did he need someone to die for it? Mm-hmm. Couldn't understand that. Could not. If you're telling me to do something, you know, we're your children, you know, you tell them, do this, you know, and they don't. But they look at you and expect that you better be doing the same. Well, it's the same thing. If God's going to tell me something to do, well, I expect him to do the same. And I just could not fathom that. So I started looking and I thought, okay, why was it that Jesus was really crucified? And again, those words that I talked about yesterday when Jesus was talking about, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life. Those very words that he was speaking of who he really was crumbling this foundation. It was totally crumbling this foundation. And they didn't like it. They did not like it one bit that someone would come in and actually say, what do you mean you're the truth, the way, and the life? No, you're not. We have a God. We have a God. He's our Father. And we pray to him and we ask him to do this. Control. Okay, the very nature of control. But here was someone who was this and knew he was this and just walked around and go, I am the life. That's why he was crucified. It wasn't to appease some angry God. It was because he spoke the words of truth, because he said, I'm the life. And you know what? When you go around trying to say that too, that you are the truth and life, and you know that?
People think you're nuts.
People think you're nuts. Exactly right. So, when Jesus spoke that, those were words of life. There was no control. He never went around. He never tried to control anything. Anything. It was his friends that wanted him to control things, not him. He never controlled anything. I mean, when he was in the boat, he was sleeping, and the winds and everything was around, and he was just sleeping. And they were the one that woke him up and said, hey, don't you care that we're perishing? Didn't even fathom to him. But they wanted him to control the circumstances. But he wasn't about control. And it's the same thing today. This life that we really truly are isn't anything about control. Has no concept of controlling anything, because life is everything. There's nothing out there to have to control. It's everything. Control is all about separation. There's something else. There's something different. We need to control it because it's different from what we are. So the Phantom Man knows that there's an expiration date on all this. And we talked about yesterday that one of the greatest lies that the Phantom Man has ever perpetrated is that this life is something that you're given. And you have to live it out within this certain amount of days. And that amount of days is called a lifetime. So this Phantom Man is given this lifetime, this amount from the time that he is born to the time that he takes his last breath. He has this lifetime that he has to experience life. And then what his version of life may be is different with every phantom man, but it's get married, have kids, have grandkids, get a great job, make lots of money, whatever it is. But you have this certain amount of time that you must do all these things with, and that's life. And that's what we think that life is. Life doesn't know death. Absolutely. Doesn't know death whatsoever. And I like what Mike said yesterday when he said you can't kill. You can't take a life. You can't. Bullets don't kill. Can't kill life. Life has absolutely no concept of what death is. So you can't take it. Where's it? To take it means it's got to go somewhere. Where's it going to go? It's everywhere all the time. Where's it going to go? If you're going to take it, where are you going to take it to? Where's it going to go? You can't take it. You know, to me, Jesus didn't defeat death. All he did was prove that there wasn't any death. You know, we have this whole holiday that we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. Didn't rise from the dead. There was no death. Because he was life. And he said, I'm life. That's not the man that you see that was walking through Galilee. That is not what he was talking about. Not at all. But that is the man that religion worships. That is what rose from the dead. And it's not about that at all. It's about the life. It's about only that one life. And it's life. Yeah. And it doesn't go anywhere. It's everywhere, omnipresent, all the time. It goes nowhere. You can't take it here. You can't take it. It's everywhere. So the Phantom Man has these days and tries to live this life that he thinks he has. And he tries to control it. So he perpetuates the lie that we talked about, that life is everything that we see. It's all these experiences. So that when we say something like, life is never out of order, people look at you and say, what? What do you mean life is never out of order? Because the problem is everybody has a different view of what their life is. Everybody has different experiences. Everybody judges different their world. And it's their world. And they base life on their world. That's their life and their judgments. Okay. So life never goes, when we say life is never out of order, I bet you if I asked any one of you, you'd all have a different opinion. But you have to listen what is said. Life is never out of order. Life. And if life is all there is, all the time, then what else is there? There's nothing. There's nothing else out there. There's nothing else, because an order means that there's got to be other things. There's an order to something, that there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this. But if there's only life, how can something be out of order? There's no order. Because the very nature of order means there's this and there's this. So nothing can be out of order. Now, I said life was never out of order. I didn't say your world, these circumstances. I said life. And everybody judges their own world differently and sees everything differently. The problem comes with the phantom man's definition of life. And the phantom man's definition of life is that it's a set number of days with experiences and circumstances, and that you have to live them a certain way. I mean, again, I am guilty of saying it all the time. Somebody will ask me, and I'm like, you know what? I really can't write right now. My life is really hectic. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural thing that we all do because it's so ingrained in us. But what I'm really saying is, you know what? I've got all these circumstances in my life. I've got this to do and this to do and this to do. And I have said that really what life to me is just a bunch of circumstances. And I don't have time for this, so my life is hectic. And that's what the phantom man has so perpetrated is that's life. And that's not life. That's not life. So it's not the circumstances that you see with your eyes and that you judge. So when we say something is never out of order, never talking about the circumstances, ever. And you need to do this for yourself when you say, you know what, when you look at things that are happening, you know what, this is wrong and this is wrong, you judge it. Because mm-hmm. you're saying it's out of order. But you know what, there's a flip side to that too. If you're looking at the circumstances and saying, you know what, nothing's out of order, but you're still looking at what you see, that's wrong too. Because the bottom line is you're still looking at this as what your life is, and it's not. You've got to get out of that mindset, the phantom man. But once you start realizing that he doesn't exist, and it's only this, then it becomes a little easier to realize that what you see isn't life. We understand that life is complete. We start getting into it and we see that it's we start seeing it's complete. And starting with saying, yes, you know what? Life is complete. That's all. Life is complete. But you start looking around you, and you know the thoughts are going to come in. What do you mean? My life really isn't complete. No, my life is complete, but it's not complete. You know, life is complete, but yet you see things that aren't. And so you try to take these spiritual principles, and you try to bring them into this realm. But these two realms will never meet. Ever. Because you're still trying to control. By saying nothing is out of order, if you're still looking at life as this, then you're just judging for good, and it's you're still judging your world. It's still a judgment for good. And if you look at it as bad, you're judging it as bad. But it's still a judgment. It's still in the land of judgment. This realm out here is where the phantom man has his reign, and he's going to judge it. Now, am I saying, okay, you just don't ever look at anything is here? What I'm saying, and what Mike has said constantly too, is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. And you don't judge it as such. Things are going to come, things are going to happen. But you don't sit there and you don't judge it, thinking that this is what life is, that you have to make this judgment in order to experience life. Because it's not life. So life, we learn that life, there's only this. There's no me, there's no you. There's only one. Yesterday we talked about these are not individual expressions. They're not different. at all. They're this. It came out of this. That's all there is. It's the exact same thing. There is no difference whatsoever. The only thing that can make these different is their judgment. Nothing else. And it's really not things that are doing the judging, because it's life. It's this. It's not this. It's this. So we have to totally get this out of and let it go. How many times have we said, I wish my life would change? Every one of us has said it in one point or another. I wish my life would change. Life can't change. There's no variance of change in it whatsoever. It doesn't know how to change. Absolute truth can't change. That's why we know that this is an absolute truth. It's not life. Because this out here can change all the time. You know, positive thinking. You know, people love positive thinking. You know, all positive thinking is just you're just changing your judgment from bad to good. That's all it is. You've just changed your judgment from bad to good. And it's a lot easier to enjoy things when your judgment is good. But it's still wrong. It's still wrong. It's just good judgment. So you just, you know, you notice the things change, you have good judgment, you've judged the things, oh, they've changed. They might not even have changed, but because your judgment has, it seems like they've changed. But life can't change. Life doesn't know how to change. Love is an absolute truth. An absolute truth can never, ever change whatsoever. There is a vast difference between knowing that our true being is complete, all in all. That's the other thing we talked about, is all in all. I love using that term, all in all, because I can't comprehend all in all. Again, I can comprehend what a God is. Well, I have a concept of that. I can comprehend what the universe is, even energy somewhat. But I cannot comprehend what all in all is. Because first of all, we can't put a definition to what all is, because we don't know what all is.
Yeah.
So how can you even begin to understand what it is? Because you can't put a definition to it. So I love that. I love that term, all in all. So when you know that your true being is that, and in which nothing needs to change, and just resting, that's when that peace begins to flow. And that's when you can hear. And that's when that spontaneous life just explodes and does what it needs to do. The realm of the life and the realm of the phantom man, like I said, are two different things. They can never meet. You can't take things and try to change, like, oh, life. Okay, if I just go around and say, I'm life, I'm life, I'm life, everything's going to change. It's not what we're talking about. It's not what it is. First of all, you're still trying to change. If you want to change anything, it's still that phantom man in control. Change is all about control. I sometimes, you know, I'll sit here and I will give you something, and I don't want to follow up on it. I'll just put it out there, and I'm not going to follow up on it. And one of the reasons, and maybe it's, again, from working in a school, but you want people to think. if you tell them everything, you want to leave them with questions, because questions are good. It's always good to ask yourself questions. Think, I mean, to just, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And to ponder and to think on that and to get quiet and to just shut everything down and listen to what was said. So some of the things that I might say, and you're kind of like, oh, well, what does she mean by that? You need to find out. You need to experience. I mean, you need to find out. Because I can tell you all kinds of things, and that doesn't mean Mike can tell you things, and that doesn't mean anything. We'll listen, and we think, oh, yeah, I really believe that. That's all well and good. And then we go back, and the phantom man still rules, and he still reigns. Because we've listened, and we've agreed to it. And we thought, oh, yeah, I understand that. And then we go out, and it's gone. And so I've kind of learned, I guess maybe from, you know, working in the school, that you say something, you let people think about it and ponder it. I never used to write poems until I started to really get into listening to Mike and just really this phantom man starting to go by the wayside. You know, I always thought I was a creative person, but I never really wanted to write poetry. So all of a sudden, I would just get in my room and just shut everything down and get quiet, and it would just start to flow. It was just so easy. And then I would look at the paper and go, wow, did I write that? And then I go, no, I didn't write that. Because if I wrote that, I wouldn't have written anything remotely like that. So Mike wanted me to write another poem for the retreat, but I didn't write a new one because there was one that I really love. And I thought it was absolutely perfect for this retreat. So I'm going to read it. And in light of what we've been teaching, maybe this time it might just trigger a little bit. There is a lie that the phantom has told. To achieve its objective and be in control. We have been given a life, and in it we must live. To achieve its success, we must take and we must give. Within these days, right choices must be made. To experience its fullness, many prayers must be prayed. To receive it eternally and enjoy paradise, we must accept the idea that it was purchased with a price. The phantom spins his web, on the throne he does reign, creating an illusion, a false identity in the brain. Life consists of days numbered that are whittled away. It's called a lifetime from cradle to the grave. Duality has kept the sham alive. Individuality, its food, it needs to survive. Celebrating each life that is different from another. One of a kind is its father. Uniqueness is its mother. Life cannot be controlled by the human race. It cannot be confined within time or with space. It's not something to be lived within a number of days or something maneuvered through like a mouse in a maze. It's not something that's given on the day of conception. It's not something that has a vision in clarity or deception. It's not something that leaves with a final goodbye or extended with a prayer to a place on high. There is no you who can achieve and obtain. There is no you who can indulge and abstain. There is no you to exist through these days. There is no you to maneuver through a maze. If there is a you, if there is no you, what can there be? Only life that is completely free, released from a prison, a false identity, surrounded in the knowledge of true humility. Life is all there is. It's not seen with the human eye. It's beyond the depths of the ocean and the far reaches of the sky. It cannot be explained with the understanding of the human mind. It's total completeness that cannot be grasped by mankind. Life is all there is and all there will ever be. There is no you, me, no us, or we. I don't exist, and neither do you. Life is all in all, and that's the plain and simple truth. So, you know, that's everything that we've so far talked about, is that there is no you. And, you know, the foundation's got to crumble on this man. It's got to crumble. Because this is all there is. And you don't want to have to wait until you leave this realm, or this, the life is, you know, I don't even like to use the term leaves this body, but yet it's kind of the only thing that we really kind of can say that, okay, life leaves the body, but life is everything. So it's kind of weird to explain that life leaves the body. Huh?
It's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere, right. So it's kind of like you can't say, you know, life leaves the body, but your body's not going to be around. In this way. So, but life now, it's always now. So you want to know this now. So, that's all I got for today. My voice is a little bit scratching, my throat's a little bit thing. But that's what I got for today.
Thank you.
So thank you.